Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the last weekend of summer officially. If you're not getting out in your backyard and firing up a grill or smoker, you're missing out. I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking in your backyard?
Thanks, buddy. Hey, thanks for joining us. It is the weekend, so it must be the Grilling Guys. And what a show we have for you. All of you would really like to be in the studio right now because we have with us our favorite vintner, Mr. Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley, and the boy came loaded for bear. So we're going to taste a little wine today, Jop. And in the segment after him, we have the legendary George Blaha. And if you don't know who he is, you can turn the radio off right now. And then after that, we're going to cover Operation GI Barbecue with a gentleman named Derek Van Portfleet. And we're going to talk all about how to raise a little money, and he's going to help us do it.
Yeah, awesome. And we're gonna make that all happen. But before we get into any of that, my week looked a little different. I went to a couple grand openings in the little town that I live in, and had the fortune to run into the people from Cole's Garlic Bread that were there. Love that stuff. And they've got, and I want to turn our listeners onto this because they're just coming out. It's a little golf ball-sized pretzel bun that's got a lump of beer cheese in the center of it. And when you bake, and it's salty on the outside, and when you bake this thing, that cheese gets all molten the inside. And they were sampling these at this grocery store that opened in my area, and I went back for thirds,
So it's just like the thirds. So it's like in some of the pubs they have pretzels, hot fresh pretzels with bar cheese, warm bar cheese.
Right, but it's all one
bite.
Yeah,
nice.
And these things they come pre-cooked, so all you got to do is warm them up. This is going to be the fall tailgate hit of the year.
Well,
I see this coming.
Here's
man.
Another hit of the year. Here's a little taste of some. What is this we have here, Brian?
In the U.S., sometimes we just call it Gewürz. It's a Alsatian variety, also made popular in Germany.
Well, that Gewürz for me.
He was waiting all morning to say that.
Hey, dude.
So it's a white wine, and if you're not familiar with it, it's a little bit dry, right?
This is dry. It's often done with a little sweetness, but this is bone dry. Big floral aromatic, almost rose petal on the nose. Slight bit of spice on the finish. If done sweet, it's actually real good with hot food. Although dry like this, I think it would be pretty nice with some barbecue.
Well, right. I did hot dogs this week. I think this would go good with hot dogs, too.
Oh, no doubt about that. We've spent a lot of time.
Did you drink the water before you start drinking the wine, the hot dog water?
I rinsed my mouth out with hot dogs.
It's a classic pairing, really.
Wow. I did a wonderful roast on the open fire outside in, yes, my Dutch oven. And we have to use things like that right now because we don't have a kitchen. All we have is the wet bar you put in the basement.
This is just one more convenient excuse to get that damn Dutch oven out.
Well, this was the little one. This was my little, like, 10-quart, 8-quart or something. But I had some gorgeous English-cut chuck. Blade cut, something like that. Chuck roast in a freezer from that nice black Angus I got last year from one of our listeners. And so I'm about out of freezer beef if anybody's killing a cow in the near future. So I pulled this thing out and I put it in the Dutch oven. I put in some Thai sweet hot chili sauce. I did a little bit of some Dale's marinade. I did a couple Vidalia.
That stuff's pretty salty. You got to be careful with that Dale's,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
that
I said
stuff,
a little bit. I
it's
said
got a
little
salt
bit.
Profile to it. It's really good, but I've overdone it a couple times, and, man, it just like brine almost. Mm. But anyway.
Well, I probably put the right amount in then because this combination of this Thai chili and the Dale's and gosh, oh, orange juice, and then a Vidalia. And I threw it on the coals of the fire, and I moved it around about every 40 minutes or so. And after about, I'm going to say 4 hours, that thing is, it was the coolest flavor profile I think I've ever built up on a piece of beef. It was crazy. It had a little hot from the Thai, and it had some sweet from the orange juice. And then the Dales gave it that nice flavor profile, or the flavor enhancers of salt and whatever they put in it.
Right.
And, of course, the Vidalia was just gorgeous. In the last hour, I threw some new potatoes in it. Oh, baby. That was a beautiful fall outdoor camping meal right there.
Right. So one of the things that I just heard, most of the time you don't want to open a Dutch oven in the middle of the cook, right? Because
right.
You want that oven effect and that convective heat that's going on in there. And the Dutch oven itself creates a lot of the heat, and you're cooking from all sides, top, mm-hmm. bottom, all the way around. But you did choose to open it up, but I'm sure it was pretty quick when you dropped the spuds in.
Well,
put
you know,
the lid back on.
There was enough juice in there because I put a bunch of orange juice in there, and by now I had a brown gravy that I actually had to add some water. And it was the original Dutch oven I got. It doesn't have the lid with a rim on it. It's just an arced lid. So it was literally just sitting in the coals. There was nothing on top of it.
Okay.
So it got all its heat from the bottom. And what a wonderful way to do a roast if you maybe don't have oven space, or if you're out in the woods or whatever, and you just happen to have some piece of beef in the oven, or in the freezer, you could literally throw about anything in there and do that same thing and end up with a pretty awesome result.
Now, how do you keep it from burning, Bob, on the bottom, if all your heat's coming up from the bottom?
I think, you know, the key is learning how many coals to put under it.
Okay.
You know, use Coles garlic bread. I use coals from the fire. Sorry. It was there.
Yeah. Wow.
Have a drink of that wine.
I am. I'm going to try to swallow that pun right there. But anyway.
It's, you know, getting the right level of coals under it. And, you know, I think those garlic, you could probably do something like that. You could bake those little cheesy breads in a device like that around a campfire, too. And it's that, yep. time of year when deer season's ready to pop up. So all those campfire cooks, it's time to start talking about those pretty soon.
And, that's right.
And you're going to hear a lot about my Dutch ovens.
Unfortunately, I know we are. But anyway, but you can use your grill as an oven. And that was the cool part about those Coles little bread bites, is that because they're cooked, if you can put them on indirect heat, maybe put them on a top rack of your grill, shut the lid and let them go, they're ready when they're warm, right?
You know, we're tailgating for Wells Fargo next weekend at the Notre Dame MSU game,
right,
at East Lansing, and I think those would be great to bring along.
Well, funny you say that, because I've got it lined up that we're going to have them. We're going to debut them on our tailgates at that event, and I got a couple cases of them coming, because I think, great. They're going to be like candy, man. Is once I like I said, I went back and I had three of these things, and there was dozens of things to sample inside that grocery store. Besides Fenn Valley wine, I was eating Cole's little pretzel cheeses.
Let's work on getting Cole's in here for next weekend's,
right.
show, so
we can
taste
do that
before we go.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing that that we're doing that we're not going to spend any time on, because it's kind of against our credo, but we've got some vegan items that we're going to be busting out at both of these tailgates that we're doing on campuses this fall, due to some of our guests prefer to eat a vegan menu. So we'll touch on that a little later, too, because I've learned a lot, and it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it's still vegan. So anyway, coming up next, our friend Brian Lesperance from Fenn Valley Wine. I think he's got four bottles over there that we're going to give a run. So stick with us. We'll be back.